your life? Has he been a deliverer? Is he everything to you? You ought to shout about it a little bit. Let's praise God. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. I love him. He's my everything. He's my all in all. Praise God. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. There's nothing like this Holy Ghost power. There's nothing like this apostolic experience. Can I get a witness? Well, we're excited tonight. Brother Stephen Collins is coming to open up the book. Going to have a word from God for us. And I have a high expectation of what God's going to do in this place. As he comes, I ask that you would extend your hands to him and pray that God bless him and bless his family in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, Brother Stephen, and come talk to us tonight. Tell us what God has put on your heart.
Well, somebody ought to go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise in the house right now. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. Come on. Is anybody excited about what God's doing? Is anybody glad to be in the house? Come on, somebody say like David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Well, what a privilege and an honor to be back in the presence of God. I need a little more monitor, guys. I'm really excited about a new season. Anybody excited about a new season? I have a lot of anticipation in my spirit about what God's going to do this year at New Life. And I believe that we're exiting a very, I guess, since we have to embrace them as seasons, a very difficult season. The winter time when stuff dies. Anybody have a couple of difficult months, maybe 3 or 4 months? If you could be honest, say it's been a little bit trying, a little tough. I believe that whether you acknowledge it or not, it is so. And I believe God's taking this church. You know, David said, blow, O north wind, upon my garden. He acknowledged the fact that sometimes the more difficult the winter time, the more tumultuous the winter time, the harder the cold wind blows upon the garden. It does something to the ground when the springtime comes. And there are some people under the sound of my voice tonight. You've gone through some difficult times. You've had some cold wind blow upon your garden. You've had a little bit of adversity in your life. Some trying times. But I want to go ahead and tell you from the outset tonight that there is a new day that's about to dawn in your life. I want to go ahead and let you know. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to. And I didn't prepare this, but there is a day that is about to emerge. Hold on for just a few more days, because there's a day that's coming that's going to make it. This day that's coming to your life is going to make you forget the day of toil. The day, the promise, the purpose that's coming to your life is going to make you forget the adversity. And while you may have wept some bitter tears through the winter time, though weeping may endure for a night, though weeping may stay with you for a season, though the cold wind may blow upon your life for a moment, There's a time of joy. If you can hold on, baby, there's a time of rejoicing. If you can endure the trying of your faith, there's a moment that's coming, a moment of promise, a moment of destiny, a moment of purpose. That's going to make you forget your weeping. We have to embrace the seasons. We have to accept them into our life. We have to endure the seasons that God calls us to come. It's how God brings about his plan in our lives. We're going to take a text really quickly. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms chapter 107. And we're going to be beginning in verse 23. Where'd my help go? I feel a real Holy Ghost unction about this tonight, and I really don't know where God's taking us specifically, but I want you to just ride with me for just a few moments. Let's just see what the Holy Ghost would say. Psalms chapter 107, a very familiar passage in verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Somebody say, in the deep. Say it again, in the deep. For he commanded and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Somebody say trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Everybody say, out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And I believe that there are some people under the sound of my voice who have felt lately like you're on a roller coaster ride. You're screaming up to the top, and then you're screaming down to the depths. And you may have even told somebody this lately, I am at my wit's end. I can't take it anymore. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, and so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. I want to preach to you for just a moment about the spiritual deep. For just a moment, if you'll put your Bible down and lift your hands to heaven, and go ahead and pray that God would speak to us. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us tonight, oh God. Tell us what thus saith the word of God. I pray that you would open up a portal in this place right now, oh God. That you would cause it to rain, God, by your word and by your spirit in this place. I pray, God, that your word would penetrate every heart. That it would captivate every spirit. That it would cause the blind eyes to be opened, God. That it would cause the lame to leap in this house, oh God. And that it would bring ultimately someone to their desired haven. Go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise as you're seated in this place. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There is some discussion that this was the establishment of the physical and the spiritual dimensions. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Everybody said the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And some would speculate that there was some destructive force that came and destroyed what God had made in between verses 1 and 2. And that left creation void and dark and formless. But I want to give you a different proposition tonight. Some would tell you that God had to do a do-over because Satan fell from heaven onto the earth and destroyed the creation and it made it formless and void and dark. But I don't believe that. That's a discussion for another day. We're not going to get into it. But without form was the state of creation. And void, everybody say void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Potential was there for life. Hovering, brooding potential. The crackle of possibility, potential, and purpose. But latent, present, and capable of emerging, but not yet actual, real, or obvious. Formless, dark, foreboding. Look at your neighbor and say, how deep was the deep? It was without restraint. Limitless, borderless, without any restrictions or boundaries. And the deep of the creative world that had not yet begun, but only existed in potential, existed because God created it to be the sustenance, the foundation upon which everything else would exist. It was the deep of potential, potent ability, having the possibility of exerting force, power, and authority. God created the possibility for power, the possibility for force, the potential for limitless, dynamic, and explosive activity. But it had no real evidence, no established form, structure, or shape. It was just potential. And it could have remained that way for eternity. But then God spoke and said, this is why I created these two parallel realities. These dimensions that will, once spoken over, be the foundation upon which all life will exist and thrive. And then God opened his mouth. He said, let there be light. And out of the hovering, brooding potential emerged a radiant glow that filled a borderless void. And he spoke and separated the physical dimension from the spiritual one. And heaven and earth emerged. And then he bordered the seas. And he told the seas, you stop here. And you stop here and go no further. And he spoke to the grass and the plants and flowers and trees and herbs emerged from the vast expanse of nothingness. And to distinguish time, he provided light upon the earth. He spoke and the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies emerged out of nothing. And he spoke and every creature upon the ground and in the sky came forth out of that black void of nothingness. Out of the vast expanse of darkness and void and potential, life emerged. Potential. The possibility for life. And then ocean life, fish and whales and everything that lives in water, cattle and creeping thing, beast of the earth, after their kind, came forth out of that formless and shapeless void. And then God bent down to the earth and he scooped a handful of dirt and began to shape a man out of clay. The very first time that God touched that physical world was to stoop down in the mud and in the clay and take up a handful, and man emerged, touched by God. And he said, I will make man in my image and after my likeness. And in the image of God created he him. And science would tell you that with all of the created world There is a zero sums mentality. For us to exist upon this planet and win, the planet itself has to lose. That somehow, if there is an intelligent designer, he couldn't possibly have created a system that was able to sustain itself. That somehow man is destroying the planet. That somehow man is breaking down what God set up. But I'm here to tell you tonight that with God, there is no zero sums mentality. With God, God is an infinite source of power. With God, God is an infinite source of wisdom. With God, God is an infinite source of understanding. And you can't diminish what God started. Once God started it, once He set it into motion, it will complete the purpose for which it was created. Somebody give Him a hand clap of praise if you believe that. Science would tell you that somehow our collective efforts are needed to save this planet. But you cannot exhaust God. The potential that exists within the confines of what is created by God is absolutely and positively inexhaustible. When God moves, speaks, or acts, there is this compounded level of potential that has no limits, no boundaries, and no borders. Somebody say limits, boundaries, or borders. The universe, I would have you to know, is expanding at a rate of 48 miles per second per 3.26 million light years. The universe is expanding at a rate that I cannot comprehend with my natural mind. Once God set it into motion, there is nothing that I'm smart enough, destructive enough, intelligent enough, dumb enough to do to stop it. When He set it in a motion, friend, it's going to finish completely what He started it to do. And it's going to confound the wise and make wise the simple. Somebody said amen. It's moving rapidly out from its inception at a rate that the human mind cannot even understand. Where is it going? I don't know. But it exists within the spirit and the purpose of God. Scientists estimate that there are 6,000 to 18,000 species that emerge every year on this planet. And all you hear about in the media is trying to save the planet. You cannot destroy this thing fast enough to keep up with the pace of the Spirit of God screaming out in every direction. There's no way, friend. I don't care, Dad, if you get your gun and go shoot every Bambi. God's plan, His purpose is going to come to fruition regardless of what we say or do. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. New life forms, 6,000 to 18,000 species. So rapidly that they can't classify them fast enough. They can't keep, as smart as they say they are, they cannot keep up with God. They cannot keep up with the Word of God. They can't even keep up with His plan. They can't keep up with His Spirit. They can't classify it fast enough. Going out from an empty, dark void of potential to where? Where is it going? And what are the possibilities? God is an inexhaustible source. All of this is coming out of Himself. He is the source of all things. If you have failed God tonight, God's mercy is inexhaustible. If you've fallen during this season of your life, God's grace is inexhaustible. If you have found yourself unlovable, God's love is inexhaustible. I'm telling somebody in this place tonight, you need to pick up your head and understand that God started something in your life. That God set some things into motion in your life. And what God started, no adversary, no enemy, no oppressive force can stop the hand of God. The deep is a seminal scriptural discussion. Seminal being the seed. The seed of the plan of God. It is amazing to me when you consider the possibilities. When you look at creation and you realize how powerful seminal things are. Seed things are where the things of God are concerned. You can go out and clear a field. You can beat back the bushes and the varmints. And you can beat back the snakes and the spiders and everything else. And you can clear it out. And I don't know how the whole process works, but you can put gravel down. You can get all the weeds out of the way. And you can pour it as thick as you want to. But Brother Carr, as hard as they try, Daniel, as difficult as it is, if you let that slab stay long enough, if you let that black top stay long enough, all of a sudden, there's going to be a shift underneath that surface. All of a sudden, there's going to be activity and movement under that surface. And if you let it stay long enough, Daniel, a root will spring up and it will push back what man created. And you'll be fighting it. You'll be spraying, spray all the Roundup on it you want and stand there and look down at it real proud and think about how bad you are with that little spray can. But something that started over 6,000 years ago, you can't kill it. You can't stop it. Think about the power of a root. Think about the power of a weed that's suspended upon the word of God. That came forth out of black, empty, hollow, void, formless, shapeless potential. It's a weed. And it will break down the biggest and baddest of foundations. Because it is suspended upon the word of God. Because it exists within the spoken word of God. Because God decided to start something. And it's going to continue to do it until this empire's gone, until the last empire's gone, until the future empire's gone, until God wraps this thing up like a scroll. Without a journey into the deep, there is no great spiritual activity, no spiritual prominence or greatness. The deep of the cosmos, the ocean, the desert, are all typology of the spiritual deep. Sailors travel the ocean in search of new conquests, trade routes, unknown riches that had never been seen. Men of God traveled into the desert. Men like John the Baptist, Jesus, Moses, etc. And came out of those experiences forever altered. There is the deep of self. The deep part of ourselves that lie unexplored, uninhabited, untapped, vast, and deep, formless, shapeless. How deep is the deep? Brother Kedrick, how deep is the deep of self?
How deep really is the deep within yourself? I want you to think about that for a moment. How vast, how expansive are the possibilities within yourself? It's something to consider. Job 38, 1 through 8. God responds to Job. He asks Job the question, Job, where were you when I established the worlds? Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and you're going to answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if you know? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, Job? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with the doors when it brake forth? Where were you, Job? But you know what? The question could just as easily be answered. Where were you, Job, when I formed you in the womb? For all of your excuses, sir, where were you when God formed you? Oh, we're all right. Where were you when I stretched out the tape? Where were you when I laid the foundations for your life? If a God who is that inexhaustible could create a planet that is expanding more rapidly than we can comprehend, if a God who is that inexhaustible can create 6 to 18,000 new species a year, what does he desire to do in the part of his creation that he fashioned, that he molded, that he shaped with his own hands? I want you to think about the fact that for over 6,000 years, not a single sparrow has fallen to the ground that he hasn't marked it down. How many sparrows fall in a day, a month, a year? How many sparrows have fallen under his watchful eye? How many people have died in that same expanse of time that from birth to death, he counted and numbered the hair on their head? I think sometimes, and if you don't know, this is what we talk about in class on Sunday mornings. I think sometimes under performance, where spiritual things are concerned, occurs because people don't really know how expansive their potential is. Why don't people pray? The pastor said this since I was a kid, but people don't pray because they don't really understand the possibilities. How expansive is the deep within yourself? Paul said, I want you to know, if I could have you comprehend anything, I want you to know the length. If you could understand anything, I'd want you to know the depth. I wish you could comprehend the breadth. I wish you could understand how deep is the deep. And sometimes people settle for Xbox and a popsicle and a few minutes texting on the phone and going to bed. But they that go down to the sea in ships do business in great waters. They see the wonders of God and His works in the deep. And you know what's common of all of these men and women that God has used? What I find common to all of them? Jesus, after the Holy Ghost came down upon him, took a little journey into the wilderness, into the deep. What's in the wilderness? Tigers and lions and bears, oh my. What's in the wilderness? I'll tell you the first thing that's in the wilderness, first thing that isn't in the wilderness, is your house. The four walls, the roof, safety, predictability. It's not there. It's wide open. The common thing among all of the great men and women that God has used is they took a journey into the deep. And let me tell you something. Just because you're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you've ever even come close to the deep. There are some people who would try to communicate that because you receive the Holy Ghost and because you're baptized in Jesus' name, that you've taken this journey. You could spend your entire life sitting on a church pew, reading your Bible, praying, having devotion, and never take that journey. Jesus, the Spirit had already descended upon him, the Bible says. Mark and Luke, go and read it. But the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. You want to know why so many people are unfulfilled? Because there's something instinctive in you that came from the deep that wants to go back to the deep. What do you think the verse is referring to when it says, deep crieth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts? We started Tuesday night prayer. I'm going to talk to you for just a minute. Is that all right? We started Tuesday night prayer about 4.5, maybe 5 years ago. And that was our attempt. Our attempt was to go into some deep places with God. I have pages upon pages of notes from those prayer meetings of people who heard things from God they had never heard before, who received visions. God spoke to me about our kids, about the next generation, about all kinds of wonderful things. And in the last couple of days, God has been moving on me. We had a season of our life where we had a new child, a new baby, and we had to circle the wagons. And I wasn't able to attend that meeting, but I'm telling you right now, we're about to start it back up. I believe that God is calling some people in this church out into the deep. You know, I'm telling you, there are people on the sound of my voice right now who know I'm talking to you because there has been something stirring in your spirit in the last couple of months. You are not content with where you have been. There are some people under the sound of my voice right now. You know good and well that God has some things for you you haven't seen yet. There are some places that God has for you to walk. And you haven't walked there yet. God is calling some people into the deep. Now, I don't care if in this moment we have a drastic response. That's not what I'm looking for. But God is looking for some people in this new year that are willing Now I want you to envision this, because this is how God speaks to me. But you have the house, the little cottage. About a half a mile from the house, you have the beach. And then on the beach, there's the pier. And then further down the pier, there sits a boat. And then beyond the boat is the shallows. And then the darker colored water. And then the further that you go, the farther away the house is. I believe, I am convinced in my spirit that it's difficult for a lot of people to leave the house. Now, in reference to this scripture, think about it for just a moment. Predictability, safety, security. Is it necessary? Absolutely. But there's something out there that's pulling. There's something, there's a deep in my spirit. And there's a deep out beyond the pier and the shallows that's pulling. And it's difficult. A lot of times it's difficult, and it's safe and it's predictable on shore, close to the house. Mom, Dad, this is what I'm talking to your kids about, by the way. This is what I'm talking. They that go down to the sea in ships, they do business in great waters. They see the works of God. They see the wonders of God and His works in the deep. The disciples, Jesus walks onto the shore. He sees the disciples. He gets on the boat. He says, hey guys, he preaches for a while. And he says, hey guys, launch out. They said, we've been fishing all night. He said, launch out into the... What's out in the deep? Something you can't find in the shallows. What are you looking for, Peter? I'm looking for fish. You want to see the works of God? Launch out. And I believe, like Peter and the other disciples, many times the reason people are frustrated in their ministry is because they're doing it too close to the shore. The reason why many times people can't see the productivity that they want to have in their ministry is because they're doing it too close to the shore. Peter, you want to see the works of God? Launch out. What would happen at New Life if every team leader, if every mom, every dad, every young person made a determination? I'm launching out. What could happen in a year at New Life? This is not just verbiage. There are some places in the spirit. There is commerce that happens in the deep that doesn't happen in the shallows. There are goods that come back to us from the deep that we never find in the shallows. The great explorers understood this. Columbus, Magellan, Cortez. They understood there are some things that we only find when we're willing to launch out into the deep. John the Baptist went to the wilderness and came out in power. Jesus went to the wilderness, fasted 40 days, was tempted of the devil. It came out in power. It was only after Jesus emerged from the wilderness that the prophecy came to pass that was spoken in Isaiah. Behold, they that sat in darkness saw a great light. It was only then that he was able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. It didn't happen before his trek and his journey into the deep and into the wilderness. I want just for a moment, Lindsay, if you can, give me some piano. I want everybody for just a moment just to lift your hands and pray and talk to God. I believe God wants to take us someplace in this coming year. And I want you just to go ahead and talk to God. And I want you to tell him, God, I want you to push me out from the shore. I'm willing, God, to launch out into places I've never explored before, God, in prayer and fasting and consecration, God. I want to see your works. Come on, somebody pray right now. I want you to talk to him from the depths of your soul. Come on, sir. What level do you want to play? What level do you want to play in God? What exactly do you want to see where the things of God are concerned? How long has it been? Since you had a prayer meeting that broke out in tongues and interpretation. Come on, Dad. How long has it been since you walked your kids down to the pier and you held their hand while you got in the boat? And then you pushed off. I'm not trying to condemn anybody tonight. I promise you I'm not. But we can't play this in the shallows. We can't do this thing on the shore. There are things that our children need. There are riches that are beyond the horizon. How long has it been since you went to a place in prayer and God broke you? Or You can live right where you're living. It's safe. It's predictable. It's comfortable. You can live with the roof and the walls and the experience that you've always lived under. But I feel something in my spirit. I'm going to tell you something in the Holy Ghost right now. You mark my words. Mom, Dad, you listen to me. Listen to me. If we don't launch out into the deep, there will be young couples that are sitting on these pews right now that won't be here. If we don't launch out into the deep, there will be young people that do not survive. I'm telling you what I know. I've seen it happen. I've watched I have watched it happen. The seasons of life that come. We need to push this thing out. We need to push this thing off of the dock. We need to push it off of the shore. We need to launch this thing out. We need to get this, our prayer into the deep. There's a deep crying unto deep. Mom, listen to me. Don't come to me and ask me to save your babies. And then when I push them out, you pull them back in. I need somebody to help me pray right now because I'm up against something. I'm up against a spirit right now as big as a mountain. I need somebody who knows how to pray to pray. Sakasi. Somebody better come up to this altar and save your family. Somebody better come up to this altar and save your kids. Somebody better come to this front and save your wife. Get desperate in this place right now. Come on, when Zion travails, she brings forth. I need somebody who's hungry right now to not live in the shallows of mediocrity. Somebody cry out right now. You were not created to live in the shallows. You were created in the image of God. You were created to walk in high places. You were created to have dominion. Come on, David. I feel in the Holy Ghost as a David in this house tonight. You've been running from Saul, and you've been feeling awfully confused, and you're in a wilderness place, and you can't find up from down. But what you have to understand, I know you feel empty. I know it feels void and hopeless. I know your life feels upside down. But there's a king inside of you. There's a king inside of you. You're living right now beneath your pay grade. You're living from cave to cave. You're trying to hide to spare your life. But David, there's a king inside of you. There's a king inside of you, David. In the deep, expansive void of your spirit, you can't see him yet. He hasn't taken shape yet. He hasn't emerged yet. You don't know if he ever will. But there's a king inside of you. Oh, you don't sit on a throne yet. You're not walking in your high places yet. You can't see the expanse, the depth, the breadth, the height. But it won't be much longer. A king is going to emerge out of you. A king is going to emerge out of you. Come on, you've got to get through this wilderness experience. You have to endure the trying of your faith. You know it's in the blueprint. You just can't understand yet how it's going to happen. Come on, you know it's in the plan of God. You just can't see it yet. You feel like a dog. The dogs have compassed you about. Thank you.
If you need to be dismissed, you can go ahead and go, but the Holy Ghost is not finished. I don't feel a release in my spirit right now. I don't feel a release in my spirit right now.